The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Okay, welcome again. So I heard a cute little joke the other day. Rebbe turns to his little students and he says, "Tell me, what reminds you of God?" So one little boy put up his hand and he said, "A mezuzah. When I see a mezuzah, I remember God." So another little boy put up his hand and says, "When I see the Chanukiah, from Chanukah, when I see that, right, that reminds me of God." Right? So another little boy puts up his hand and says, "When I see a scale, that reminds me of God." So Rebbe turns to the boy and says, "Moishi, that's a little unusual. How is it that a scale reminds you of God?" He said, "Because every morning my mom gets on a scale and she looks at it and she goes, 'Oh my God, oh my God.'" Jewish life is about God consciousness. And I think most of the people in the world today would not think that God consciousness is necessarily an empowering experience. I mean, I would say there are probably a lot of people in the world today that don't think God consciousness is something that gives one great happiness. But Jewish tradition teaches us that the awareness of God is the greatest ecstasy. And it's not just a philosophical awareness, but it's something that translates into a very real experience of life force and energy force. And what my goal is for this little program is I want to develop with you what we could call the spiritual technology of Jewish living. Because it really is a spiritual technology of Jewish living, and that technology is based on the Kabbalah. Now, some of you know I got involved in Kabbalah when I was 18 years old. I was at the Western Wall, and a rabbi, I thought he was a rabbi because he had a long beard and a long curls and a long black coat, but he actually was a rabbi. And he came up to me and in broken English, he said to me, "I teach Kabbalah. You want to learn Kabbalah?" And the only thing I knew about Kabbalah, as an 18-year-old, only having a little bit of a Hebrew school background, is that Kabbalah is forbidden, right? You're not allowed to study Kabbalah until you're 40. So this man comes up to me and offers to teach me Kabbalah, and I know it's forbidden, so of course my answer is yes, right? And the rabbi started teaching me Kabbalah. Now, what attracted me to the study of Kabbalah was not only because I thought it was forbidden, but that was very attractive, not only because it was just mystical and nobody else was doing it, but what really attracted me to the Kabbalah is that it's a system. And with the little knowledge I knew about Judaism, there was this feeling that there's a lot of great ideas in Judaism. Great ideas about Shabbat, and great ideas about kosher, and great ideas about this and that. But is there some kind of spiritual system that this all hinges upon? Is there really a technology? What does Judaism really offer me? What am I trying to accomplish in Judaism? And how does Judaism enable me to accomplish what I want to accomplish? So what I want to do with you is I'm going to work with you on what's called the 10 Sefirot, the 10 divine powers or the 10 divine attributes. This is generally the way the picture looks in terms of starting with Keter, which is the highest power, the root of all the other powers, as well as there are 10 of these powers, and our job in life is how to coordinate ourselves, how to synchronize our individual life and become harmonized with these divine powers. And that's what I'm going to explore with you over the next few days, on how does one actually, through Torah life, accord themselves to Hashem's power in the world and literally experience themselves becoming a channel for Hashem's life force, Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's will, Hashem's love, Hashem's peace into the world. And that's really the goal of this particular program. Now, what I'm doing is a little unusual, is I've been working very hard to create a source sheet, right? So rather than kind of just get up and download, my goal here is that you will have some sources that we're going to be working from during the program, okay? Now, these are not all the sources for the entire course. This will probably get us through today and tomorrow, and there'll be more. So hang on to it. If we don't get through this today, then hang on to it. We'll get through it and finish it off tomorrow. So if you can pass it down this way. So I'm calling this the spiritual technology of success. We're in a world that everybody wants success. The question is, success in what? Well, the truth is, what I want to share with you, which is certainly not my wisdom, but the wisdom of Torah, as specifically clarified by the teachings of Jewish mystics, whether it's Kabbalists or Hasidic masters. But the idea is that what we have here is the key to all forms of success. It really doesn't matter. It's just a system, and that when applied to whether it's love, whether it's creativity, whether it's business, these are the basic principles that all success is built out of according to Jewish tradition. So has everybody got this? Now, unfortunately, our photocopy machine broke. So if there's not enough, then we'll have to share. There should be enough. Did everybody get? Did you all get? Okay. And the way I plan to run this course is sometimes we'll do it together, sometimes we'll break up in chavrusas and examine some of the pieces on your own to kind of like chew on it a little bit, and then we'll come back and unite and talk about it. So I start off here with three critical verses from the Torah that really give us an understanding of what's the goal of Jewish life. What are we trying to accomplish? So this is from Deuteronomy 30:20. To love the Lord your God, hearken to his voice, and bond to him, because he is your life. He is your life. Okay? The next pasuk is also in Deuteronomy 4:4. You who are bonded with the Lord your God are alive totally today. And the third verse I want to talk about is also Deuteronomy 13:5. You shall walk after the Lord your God and revere him and keep his commandments, obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. All right? Now, these three verses focus on the fundamental goal of Jewish life. What are the words that are in common in all these verses? The word dvekut, the word to bond. Okay? The goal of Jewish life is to experience a bond between myself and the divine. Right? And that's what all the mitzvahs accomplish for us. All the learning Torah, all the praying, all the good deeds, all the activities, all the rituals, and all the customs, and all the laws are enabling us to experience this ultimate experience, which is to feel bonded with Hashem. A sense of union with Hashem. The question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to bond with Hashem? And why would I want to bond with Hashem? And how is that even possible? Okay? So the first problem with understanding bonding with Hashem is understanding Hashem, or actually who Hashem is not. Some of you must have heard me, if you've read any of my books, have heard me. You know that one of the recurring themes that I focus on is the idea that God is not a being floating in outer space over there. Right? That's who I thought God was. I thought God was some being floating in outer space. Over there, he's our Father in heaven. I was told he doesn't have a body, so I guess he has like a dotted line around him. I don't know, some spirit, some ghost, some mega ghost, right? Some superpower that is over there. Right? And some of you know, as a child, I really didn't have such a great relationship with God, Because I felt that he was always judging me. I felt that he was a punishing, angry, vengeful God. And as you know, being the fact that I come from a Holocaust background, my mother is a survivor, so that plays very much into my psychology in terms of a real sense of the pain of the Jewish people. And that was my initial relationship with my Jewishness. My Jewishness was based on a sense of the fact that Jewish people have had to endure tremendous pain, right? And that the Jewish people live with a tremendous amount of guilt, right? And so I identified very much with Judaism as not happiness. And my attitude towards God was not a God of joy, not a playful God, a God being playful, right? Not a playful God, not a compassionate God, not a warm, close, loving God. But I remember when I was a child and my parents bought me a hamster for my birthday, and being the little sadistical kid that I was, I put my hamster through hell. I did all kinds of horrible things to my hamster. And one day it hit me, you know, maybe that's why God created me. Maybe just as I was bored and I needed some pet for cheap thrills, maybe God was bored and he needed a pet. I had a hamster. He had a humster, right? And just as I put my pet through hell, he pushed me through hell. That was my thoughts about God. Not very healthy, right? Over the last 25 years being involved with education, I meet a lot of people who also don't have such healthy understandings of God, right? But it all starts with this confusion that God is a being floating in outer space over there. So how am I supposed to get to know this God? How am I supposed to even get close to this God? There seems to be this infinite gap that separates me from God. So how can I bond with God? I'm finite. He's infinite. How can I bond with God? I'm temporal. He's eternal. How can I bond with God? He's perfect. And I'm quite imperfect. How can I bond with God? And yet here we see that the fundamental goal of Jewish life is to experience, to accomplish and to experience bonding with God. Well, how do I do that? Well, the secret to understanding who Hashem is and how a person bonds with Hashem is the first verse that I've recorded here. To love the Lord your God, to hearken to His voice, and to bond with Him, because He is your life. Who is God? Right? He is your life. Right? Now, we could read that figuratively, like my children are my life. Right? But this is not meant to be just figuratively, that God is your life and one should be just obsessed about thinking and doing God's will. But He is your life, meaning literally the life force that you and I this very second are using is not our life force. Okay? So then whose force is that? So the most immediate connection that you have and experience that you can have with God is you. Right? The more you're able to really contemplate and experience who you are, the more you experience who Hashem is. How so? Right? How so? Well, I always share with people that people are under the impression, the false impression, that this is my life. And since it's my life, I can do with my life whatever I want to, because this is my life. So I challenge people, are you sure this is your life? Yeah. Okay, well, let's just do a little experiment. Okay, the experiment goes like this. Okay, if this is my life, so then surely I'm beating my heart. So if I'm beating my heart, so let's just do an experiment. We're going to take a break. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone in the room just for 10 seconds to stop their hearts beating and then start up again. Okay, and I'll be counting because you guys will be dead. So I'll be, but only for 10 seconds you'll be dead. In other words, obviously this is ridiculous. Right? I can't stop my heart from beating. I could maybe slow it down, but I can't stop it. Well, if I can't stop my heart from beating, and I can't start my heart beating, so then, is it correct to say that I'm beating my heart? No. So if I'm not beating my heart, who is. Whoever that is, I would suggest we stay in good contact with. Right? Whoever that is. Right? Now, okay, so I'm not beating my heart, but it's not just my heart that I'm not beating. Right? What about my thinking? Am I thinking my thoughts? Right? Am I running my brain? Well, let's just try a little experiment. I'm going to ask everybody to turn their brains off for 10 seconds, and then I'll all let you know when you can turn them back on again. Right? You can't turn your brain off. You can't stop thinking. You can decide maybe what to think, but you have no choice in the fact that you think. So is it correct to say that this is your thinking? Or is thinking simply coming to us? Is the power of thinking your power? Did you invent thinking? Did you teach your brain how to think? No. Well, so then if I'm not thinking, then who is? If I'm not running my brain, if I'm not fueling my mind, well, then who is? Whoever that is, I suggest we stay in good connection with. Okay? Well, what about my emotions? We talk about my emotions. Well, let's just see. How much are these emotions mine? Okay? So let's just do the experiment again. We're going to stop emoting for 10 seconds. Everyone's just going to stop feeling for 10 seconds. You can't stop feeling, right? Some of us are feeling happy. Some of us are feeling anxious. Some of us are feeling... But whatever we're feeling, we're feeling. Now, perhaps we can control what we're feeling, but we have no control over the fact that we are feeling, right? So where feelings come from? Love, the love in my heart that I feel, right? For you, for my family, for my children, for my wife. Did I invent that love? Did I teach my heart to feel it? Did I teach you all to recognize it? Did I teach anyone here to need it? No. Well, then who did? Whoever did, I suggest we stay in good contact with. Because the truth is, this verse is literal. He is your life. The very life force that we are tapped into this very second is coming from Hashem. Hashem is not a being floating in outer space over there. Right? And we're over here. When we say Hashem, we're referring to the source of all life, the source of all will, the source of all wisdom, the source of all understanding, the source of all love, the source of all truth, the source of all peace. I'm not the source of all that. I might be a channel. I might be a vehicle. But when I'm graced to say something of intelligence, is this my intelligence? No. I'm just a channel, hopefully, for Hashem's intelligence in the world. And imagine a radio, right, who suddenly was self-conscious and started to take itself too seriously. And started to think that the voice coming out of its speaker is its voice, right? And begin to think that it really is, right? Celine Dion, right? And all of a sudden someone trips over his cord, and, right? Because I'm just the radio. I'm just the receiver. But I'm not the voice, right? So it's that ridiculous for anyone to ever take, so to speak, pride and say, I'm so wise, this is your wisdom. I'm so loving, you're the source of love. I'm so talented, you invented those talents. This is the fundamental meaning of serving God. Most people are not excited about the idea of serving God because they think God is a being floating in outer space over there and he wants me to do something and maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't, but you know, he's a super being, he could step on me, so maybe I better do it. Right? But when Torah talks about serving God, we're talking about serving the source of life, the source of wisdom, the source of love, the source of creativity. And to serve God would mean that I am a vehicle, I am a channel, through which the divine will, wisdom, love, comes into the world. Right? So if somebody does a great thing, you know, if I give a great class and someone says, great class, Rabbi. So what do I say? I say, Baruch Hashem. Hashem is the source of all blessing. And I'm thankful to be a vehicle, a channel in service of bringing Hashem's wisdom in the world. Right? If someone says, that was a beautiful painting, you should say, Baruch Hashem. Right? I'm so thankful that I am a vehicle for creativity and beauty. Not my creativity. God, Hashem's creativity to come into the world. Right? Oh, that was, you know, a fabulous song you composed. Baruch Hashem. I'm so thankful to be a vehicle for Hashem's music to come into the world. But that's the real meaning of service. And that's the goal of Judaism. The goal of Judaism is to be in service of the soul of all soul, the life of all life, the source of all life, wisdom, and all the powers that we're going to talk about. And the goal is, how does one make that connection? How does one align themselves? How does one attune themselves? So imagine yourself like a radio, okay? So if the radio isn't tuned to the broadcast, so nothing will come through it, or static will come through it. Judaism claims that the lifestyle of Judaism, the commandments, the rituals, the customs, are all there to attune ourselves to the source of all wisdom, the source of all will, the source of all love, so that we are connected, that we are bonded with Hashem, connected to the life source, and Hashem can be manifest in this world through us. That's the goal of Jewish life. Any questions on what I just shared? Yes.
Expanding on your idea about the radio, so how come that, you know, some people are more artistic than others, whereas when the source is the same?
Right. Okay. So we have all been created as unique vehicles for unique aspects of God to come into the world. Okay? So I was born, I guess, with the gift of gab. Right? I have not had problems speaking in public. Right? Not something I ever had, not when I was a child. Right? Now I understand that public speaking in America is the number one fear. And the number two fear is death. That means that if you are giving a eulogy, you'd rather be in that box. Right? Right. So says Seinfeld. So we quote Seinfeld. Okay? But I never had that problem. I never had a problem public speaking. In the shul play, I used to get always the lead roles. I had no problem getting in front of hundreds of people and sing solos. Nothing I did. Now, if I took pride in that, and I thought, look at me, I speak so well, that would be as ridiculous as me saying, look at how I'm able to bend my finger. Like, of course you could bend your finger. God created you with the ability to bend your finger. If you weren't able to bend your finger, that really would be strange. Right? Right? Look at me. I know how to sneeze. Everybody, watch this. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. I mean, like, of course you're going to sneeze. You know how to sneeze because you're meant to sneeze. You were created to sneeze. Anybody who sees their talents, whether they're great businessmen or great artists or great composers or great orators, right? Whatever they are, that was, you were created with a certain ability to be a unique channel, a vehicle for an aspect of God's truth to come into the world. Right? And everybody's different, right? And one gets that through humbleness, labriut, right? The more humble a person is, the more you realize that the powers within you are not from you, the more those powers can be within you, right? And come from, through you, right? Because you know they're not from you. But as long as you think you're the source of this wisdom, you're the source of this talent, you're the source of this love, then you don't have much to go on, right? But the more you're plugged into, so to speak, Hashem, you are bonded with Hashem, the more life force that comes through you, because He is your life, and all the various aspects of life, right? God is life. Now, it's not correct to say that life is God, because God is much greater than life. Right? He's also beyond life. But the pasuk is telling us that God is life, and at this very moment, every move I make, every breath I take, every word that comes out of my mouth, I could not do without you know who. Right? The great whoever. Okay? And that's the amazing consciousness. So when a person has that consciousness, you know? Like I was told that there are 18 muscles in my face, and yours too, right? That have to move in perfect coordination for every syllable to come out of my mouth. Now I don't even know where those muscles are, right? I don't know how they're coordinated, and I don't even know how I coordinate them, and nobody that I know, right, in any years of my schooling taught me how to do this, right? Clearly this is not my wisdom. The wisdom of coordination and speech I did not invent and did not start with me and will not end with me. Well then who did it start with? Whoever it did, I suggest we stay in good contact with. Right? And the more we can align ourselves with God's will, God's vision, God's plans, God's attributes, the more we experience ourselves bonded with Hashem. But there's absolutely not one word in my that's coming out of my mouth that I am causing to come out of my mouth, so to speak, alone. Right? Every move you make, every breath you take, everything, right? It's not just God is watching you, but God is enabling you this very second to hear what I'm sharing, to write what you're writing, to sit, to breathe. Every second of our lives is dependent on a higher power. And the more you acknowledge that truth, the more that truth becomes manifest and experienced and utilized in your life. And the less you acknowledge that truth, the more you're under the illusion that I am a separate, independent entity, and this is my wisdom, this is my life, these are my emotions, these are my talents, the more you cut yourself off from the very source of all your blessings. Right? Right? And the goal of Judaism, and all the laws of Judaism, is really a technology that enables us to maintain, to nurture, and forge even deeper this connection between the individual and the universal soul, power, whatever word we're going to use for the divine, and your service. And every one of us, and we're going to talk about this, have a unique, special service that nobody else in the world can do or will do. You have an aspect of Hashem's truth, of God's truth, that you're responsible to channel and reveal in the world. And if you're ever, ever jealous of anybody else, then you're definitely in a state of deep confusion. Right? Because nobody's better and nobody's worse. Right? Because how could anybody be better or worse when you're responsible for revealing this aspect of God's truth and I'm responsible to reveal that aspect of God's truth? How could one aspect of God's truth be any less or more important than another person's aspect of God's truth? Right? And so, we are all unique, all special, and everything about us, right? Our height, our shape, our color of hair, our lack of hair, whatever we have, is exactly who we need to be in order to be that unique channel in service of one of the special, so to speak, colors in the spectrum of the divine light. Okay? Any other questions I want to share so far? Yeah?
How does that separate from what we do?
Okay. So what Howie's asking now is something we'll have to deal with later, which is the power of free choice. We are in a state of partnership with God. And that's what Judaism revealed to the world. Partnership. Everything you do is a partnership. You can't do anything alone. Okay? What do you contribute to this partnership? Hashem gives life, wisdom, peace, right? Well, what do you, talent, motor skills, well, so what body, right? So, what do you contribute to this? Will. Your choice. What you want to do with this. Okay? That, you have it. Now, what are you going to do with it? That's your choice. Okay? So, you might say that our relationship with Hashem is like the relationship between the raw material and the form. Okay? The raw material and the form. This is made of plastic, but it's in the form of a chair. That's made of plastic, but it's in the form of a bottle. And that's made of plastic, it's in the form of a pitcher. And that's made of plastic, it's in the form of a cup. Okay? The material is the same. But what choice, what form we give it. Okay? So we get the raw material called will, life, energy, wisdom. Now, what form will you give that? Right? Will you give it a holy form? Or will you give it an unholy form? Okay? A person could be given, you know, metal. One person could use that metal to create a knife, a weapon. Another person could use that metal, right, to create a frying pan. Okay? So the materials, the raw materials of life, right, are given. Okay? And they are the 10 sefirot. Okay? These are the 10 powers that we have been graced with. Each and every one of us. These are the 10 powers. Question is, what are you going to do with these powers? Are you going to use these powers in service of Hashem and give love a holy form or an unholy form? Are you going to give thinking a holy form or an unholy form? Okay? So we bring form. Hashem brings the raw material. Okay? And so, but that's your choice. And even choice, you have no choice. Right? You have no choice about choice. Right? You have a choice what you're going to choose. But you have no choice that you're going to choose. You must choose. What you choose is your choice. That you choose is God's choice. And that's your partnership. God gives you willpower. What are you going to do with it? Hashem gives you thinking, intelligence. What are you going to do with it? Hashem gives you emotions. What are you going to do with it? Hashem gives you motor skills, reflexes. What are you going to do with it? But realize, right, that every move you make, you can't make without God. Right? So if you do use these powers to do crimes, you are forcing God to be your accomplice in your crime. Right? It's an amazing idea. You're schlepping God into your schmutz. Right? So if you want to do it to yourself, that's one thing. But you could do this to God. Right? And we'll be talking about that. Okay? To love the Lord your God, hearken to His voice and bond to Him, because He is your life. Now I want you to understand, when it says bond to Him, is that true? You don't really bond to Him. Why? Because you're already bonded to Him. Right? If you're alive, which as best as I can see everybody who came today are, right, then you are bonded with Hashem right now. You couldn't be if He wasn't and you were not in contact with Hashem right now. You, at this very second, are connected to the very creator of the universe. You, this very second, too, are connected to the very life force that is keeping all the planets in orbit. You, this very second, are connected to the same creative intelligence that invented eyeballs, right? Inventing eardrums. Invented embryos. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you would remember that, if you could stay conscious of that truth, that this very second you are connected to the ultimate power line of the universe, would you not feel incredibly alive? But that's the goal. The goal is not to get connected. The goal is to realize that you are connected. And to live a lifestyle that affirms that and reminds you of that. Because the more you're aware of your connection to Hashem, the more Hashem's connection can become experienced and utilized in your life. So that's the next pasuk over here. You who are bonded with God, your Lord, are alive totally today. Right? How do you know somebody is succeeding in Judaism? They are alive. Right? They are filled with energy. vitality, right? But if you give somebody a good Shabbos and their hand feels like a wet herring, they need some work to do, right? Because something's missing, because if a person truly knew that they were connected to the source of all existence, the source of all life, how can they not be alive? Right? But it says clearly, are alive totally today. Right? That's the verse. You're not only alive, you're totally alive. Every single fiber of your being is on fire. Every fiber of your being, right, is just filled with so much energy and dynamism, right? And it's now. It's not you will be, right? Today, right? It's not something that you have to build up to and get to tomorrow or next week or in a year from now, right? If you're bonded to Hashem, and the point is you really are bonded to Hashem. When the Torah says bonded means bonded in consciousness to Hashem, consciously bonded, then this is what you'd experience. And if you're not, then to that extent you'll feel it also. You'll be depressed. You'll be lethargic. Right? Chas v'shalom, you can even get sick. Because you're disconnected consciously from the source of all life, of all healing, of all blessing, of all abundance, of all creativity. Okay? And that's what Torah is offering. Right? That's the goal of Jewish life. That's God's gift to us. It's called consciousness of Him. That's His gift to us. The consciousness that we are connected right now to Hashem. Okay? And that should just, we should just be in awe. The reason why not in awe is we're just used to it. We're just used to it. But if we weren't used to it, then every day we'd wake up and we'd really say, Moda ani lefanecha, I am so thankful. So thankful. How can I not be thankful? Every second of my life is a gift. Okay? Any questions on this verse? We go on. Yeah? Yes and no. They are definitely following Torah, but they might not know they're following Torah. Otherwise, you could have a person who is very kind, right? They're God conscious. They're very kind. They're careful in not speaking Lashon Hara, right? Well, so they're attuned to that extent, right? You could have another person who's very cautious in kosher, right? So they're very careful about what goes into their mouth, but they're not so careful about what comes out of their mouth and speak just horrible things. So to that extent, they're not connected, okay? Question, are you connected? You know, the Arizal of Isaac Luria had this amazing ability to diagnose people. He would have people simply visualize the name of God. The Yud, the He, the Vav, the He. Okay? So just close your eyes for a second, those of you who are jet-lagged, just for a second, please. Okay? And just try and visualize the name of Hashem. The Yud, the He, the Vav, the He. Okay? Can you tell me what color you see? The letters have a color. Black and white. Okay? Are you having problems with any particular letter that you can't see? Can someone tell me if there's a part of a letter they're having a hard time seeing? The last head. Okay. So the Arizal would basically get a very detailed description of this person's visualization, and then he'd tell them what's wrong with them. He'd tell them exactly what's ailing them physically, mentally, and then he'd tell them what mitzvah they have been negligent in, which is causing this blockage of God energy coming into these particular limbs in their body. Right? It's an amazing thing. Right? Now I can do this, but I don't like to show off. So, now it's a quite an amazing thing. But what is it telling you? Right? What? I don't know anybody that can do it. I'm sorry. Except the Arizal. Right? He's got total rights to copyrights. What can I tell you? But what's the idea here? The idea is, are you a living manifestation of God? Because that's what you're meant to be. Right? In your unique way, creating the image of God, you are meant to be a reflection of divinity. So your ability to visualize in your head is a reflection of how much you are actually, right, a living expression of God's vision of you as His vehicle in the world into everyone else's life. Yeah.
Had a hard time visualizing anything.
Right, so we have a big problem. People are definitely disconnected, that it's getting hard to visualize anything.
They can't visualize that, you're
saying that's a lack of that. Something needs to be worked on. I mean, that's all I can understand from your Arizal, that there's some disconnect, right, that we need to work on. All right? But the interesting, important point here is this, right, that all the powers within you are not from you. Right? All the powers. Your choice is not whether to live or whether to think or whether to feel, right? Your choice is what to think, what to feel, what to do. But the power to think and the power to feel and the power to do, they're not your powers. And the idea of Judaism that we have a covenant with God, that's the covenant. Every second of your life is a partnership with God. And this very second, every single one of us is connected to Hashem. And the only difference between us is some of us know it, some of us kind of think it, some of us think maybe, some of us aren't so sure, some of us aren't interested, some of us couldn't care less, and all that is going to make a difference in the quality of your life, right? And the extent of the life force that is pouring through you, to you and through you from Hashem. Okay, next verse. You shall walk after the Lord your God and revere Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave to Him. Right? That's what all the mitzvahs are. To walk after the Lord. Right? How does a person walk after the Lord? So I ask you to look at this next source over here. Right? Number two. Follow the Lord your God. What does this mean? Is it possible for a mortal to follow God's presence? The verse means to teach us that we should follow the attributes of the Holy One, praised be He, as God clothed the naked, for it is written, in God eternal made outfits of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them, so you shall clothe the naked. The Holy One, blessed be He, visited the sick, for as it is written, after the description of Abraham's circumcision, the Eternal appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. So you should visit the sick. The Holy One, blessed be He, comforted those who mourned, and so should you comfort the mourners. The Holy One, blessed be He, buried the dead, so should you bury the dead. In other words, how does one follow God? The goal is to model, so to speak, divine attributes. That's the goal. To model divine attributes. It's like a recipe. You know? If I know how to make a chocolate cake, and I give you the recipe for making chocolate cake, then you too can make hot chocolate cake. Okay? And that is what Judaism is about. Right? In fact, when you think of it, we don't really have a Jewish book of codes. We don't have a Jewish code of law. I know in English it's called the Jewish Code of Law, but there's no such thing. We have something called the Shulchan Aruch. What does Shulchan Aruch mean? It literally means a set table. Right? A set table. Now that's a little bit of a strange title for a book of law. I think that would be an appropriate title for a book of recipes. A set table. And that's because it's not a book of law. It's a book of recipes. Right? That's really what the Shulchan Aruch is. People think these are laws. They're not laws. They're recipes for holiness. Recipes of how does one model themselves and embody divine attributes. Right? So just as God visits the sick, you visit the sick. And when you do so, you have now aligned yourself with God. Right? And experience yourself more connected. Just as Hashem, right, clothes those who are naked, so too, you clothe those who are naked. The more you act like God, the more you experience God act through you. Do you get this? The more you act like God, the more you experience God act through you. Right? And that's the goal of Jewish life, to attune ourselves through the laws, and through the attributes, through the good deeds, so that we are a living channel for Hashem's presence into the world. Yes?
What's the relationship
really? Same thing. It's just giving examples. But all the midot, all the various attributes of kindness, right, or of cautiousness, right, these are all reflective of, right, the truth of God. And the more I act like God, the more I model my life after God, the more I experience my connection to God and the presence of God in my life. All right? So you're beginning to see a picture over here of what basically is the goal of Jewish living. Right? Why do people do what they do in Jewish life? Because they are trying to achieve an experience of their connection to the ultimate. And the way a person experiences their connection to the ultimate is to be like the ultimate. Right? Just as he is kind, you be kind. Just as he is compassionate, you be compassionate. And in that way, you are tuning yourself to your connection to Hashem, and you will experience the truth of Hashem become expressed through you into the world. Okay? Let's look at the next verse, the next source. And that was from the Talmud, Sota 14a. It is written, but you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. It's a different translation of that verse up top. Right? V'atem dvekim b'Hashem Elokechem chayim kulchem hayom. Now, is it possible for a person to cleave to the Divine Presence? How do you cleave to Divine Presence? Was it not already stated later in the chapter, for the Lord thy God is a devouring fire? Shem Elokecha esh ochlahu. How do you cleave to God? Right? What do? So the answer of the Gemara is, the Talmud in Ketuvot 111b, rather anyone who marries off his daughter to a Torah scholar, and anyone who gives trade to a Torah scholar, anyone who gives benefit to a Torah scholar, from his possessions, scriptures considers it as if he cleaved to the Divine Presence. Can someone explain that to me? Right? How does one bond with God? What's my connection to God? So one Talmud says it's through your acts. Right? This particular one is saying your connection to God can be through a Torah scholar. Well, what does that mean? Right? What's that supposed to mean? Through a Torah scholar? If I marry my daughter to a Torah scholar, if I do business or benefit a Torah scholar in any way, I am cleaving to God. Am I cleaving to God? Who am I cleaving to? The Torah scholar. But this Talmud is saying you're cleaving to God. So what do we do with that? What? Yes, because this Torah scholar is infused with the presence of God. Because that's what a true Torah scholar is. If this Torah scholar, right, is a person who's completely committed himself to the service of God, completely conscious of his connection to God, completely aware that every power within him is not from him and is actually God's power within him, so he is a living manifestation of God. He's not God. He's not God, but he is a living expression of God in the world, and your connection with that person in any way is a connection to God. Without thinking he is God. He's not God. Right? But he is a living expression of God in the world. Because he has accomplished the Gemara beforehand. Because he has modeled himself. Right? He has acted in tandem with God's attributes and God's values. He has embodied God's ideals. He lives God's vision. Right? His whole life is in service of being a vehicle for God's love and wisdom and peace and truth in the world. Right? So effectually, he is godly. He has now got divine status. Right? Without thinking he's God. Right? We don't bow to him. Right? But nonetheless, that's what happens. And you can be a Torah scholar too. Right? Yes?
How about a Buddhist monk?
I don't know. You have to ask Buddhists that question. I don't know. So, the Midrash says that the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, rests upon a man and a woman a Jew and a non-Jew according to their deeds. Right? So, again, I don't know if this Buddhist monk is aligned with God or not, right? But is it possible that a non-Jew could be in complete service of God, right? Yes. So, but I can't tell you, I can't say a Buddhist monk because I don't know, per se. Okay, so the question is, without getting into, you know, specifics, but anybody who has completely committed themselves to who they really are, which is a vehicle for divinity in the world, and successfully lives a life that is reflective and expressive and acknowledges that truth, they are godly, right? They are godly. And really, I remember we had once at Israelite a guru from the East. He was here. He had many disciples, Israeli disciples. And he doesn't speak. He hasn't spoken, I think, 15 years. So they asked if I'd be, you know, willing to meet with him, and I was happy because I knew we wouldn't argue. So that wouldn't be a problem. And he wrote a book called A Practical Guide to Divinity. I want you to know that book already exists. That's the Torah. The Torah is a practical guide to divinity. Right? You are a soul, an actual part of God, and the more you live who you are and behave who you are and align who you are with where you're from and who you're in service with, the more godly, divine, and even eternal you become. Right? That's why we have stories about certain rabbis that never died. Yaakov never died. Jacob never died. Right? He transcended that. Okay? Obviously he left his body, but he didn't die. Right? David Melech Israel Chai V'Kayam. David Melech Israel is alive and well. Where is he? Right? These are people who through the technology of Torah, right? Through service of mind, heart, and action, through learning Torah, through proper prayer, through proper action, are so completely aligned with the divine, right, that they are of divine value. And therefore, how does one cleave to God, the verse is saying? Right? Any connection, any way you benefit a Torah scholar, right, is already a connection to God. And of course, we don't worship that man, right? We're not worshiping that man. But we're acknowledging his holiness, his godliness. All right? Any other questions? Yes. When we say follow the Torah has 613 mitzvot. Okay? And beyond those mitzvot, there are there's basic values and ideals that we are meant to be committed to. If a person successfully lives that, that's what they're going to get. They're going to experience this incredible sense of dvekut, this bonding, this union, right? They will feel incredibly alive, totally now, right? And they'll be experiencing basically who they are, right? So that's something we're going to get to. Right? First of all, not everybody's obligated on 613, right? But if you do what you're supposed to do and what you're able to do, then to that extent, you accomplish dvekut and experience this incredible sense of vitality and connection, and we'll be talking about it later on in ecstasy. Right? That's the ultimate goal. In Olam Abba, what's the big cry in the sky? Olam Abba, the world to come. It's just that. Right? You experience yourself completely at one with God. That's what you experience. That's right? The goal that one is aspiring to through Jewish life. Okay?
Torah scholars who
don't have,
you know, have their head in the book.
Right. Well, so when the Gemara talks about Torah scholars, it's not talking about, you know, just somebody who knows a lot of information. A Torah scholar, by definition in Jewish tradition, is a tzaddik, a holy, committed person to Hashem. Right. So it is confusing and very disillusioning where you meet someone who has much knowledge, right, of Torah, but do not embody Torah. Right? The goal is not to have knowledge. The goal is to be Torah. You know, when we see a Torah scholar walk into the room, we stand up. Right? Just like when the Torah is taken out of the ark, we stand up. Because he's a living Torah. Right? That's a That's a Torah on a parchment. But he is the embodiment of that Torah. Right? And therefore the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is completely manifest in this person. Right? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was so completely delivered himself in service to God that his light, his face, had the light of divinity. People couldn't look at his face. So he had a mask. Of course, when you see the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't put a mask on Charlton Heston because you don't pay that kind of money for that kind of punim, you know, for that face, and then, you know, cover it up. But the truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu, what? Says, Ish Elohim. And the Midrash says he was a godly man. Ish Elohim. He was part human, part divine already. There's something divine about him, right? But that is the goal of Judaism. Judaism is actually a practical guide to divinity. Right? And divinity is the experience of eternity, of vitality. It's that experience of being at one with the ultimate. And that's what Judaism promises we can accomplish in our lives. Right? Not only promises we can accomplish in our lives, we're going to soon see, not today, that Judaism promises that we are going to experience. Each and every one of us. It's not a question of will we, it's a question of when will we. Right? But we're on our way to this ultimate ecstasy of connectivity, right, between ourselves and each other, and between ourselves and Hashem. That's for sure. Right? And the truth is, it's already a truth. Right? Existentially, ontologically, we are connected to Hashem this very second, and our job is to realize this. Acknowledge this, live this, and experience this. Okay? But something could be true, but if you're not aware of it, it's not true for you. Right? You don't experience it. Right? If a person is colorblind, it doesn't matter that the world is filled with colors. They live in a world that has no colors. Okay? So Hashem is completely present in our life, and everything we do, and everywhere we are, and every situation we encounter. Completely. Now the question is, are we able to open our minds, our hearts, our hands, perhaps? Right? To acknowledge this truth and thereby experience this truth. And that's the power of emunah, which we're going to talk about, the true meaning of faith. Okay? So let's go on. So this is a piece from Rav Kook, Linking Life with God. Rav Kook, who was chief rabbi of Israel, he was born in 1865 and died in 1935. He wrote many, many books. And one of the books he wrote is called Midot Raya, which is divine, the attributes that one should model and aspire to emulate, okay, in their lives, embody. So these are some selections from there. The divine philosophy that Kabbalah teaches us, the attributes of God. The divine Sfirot, that we may know it for us to link our lives with the attributes of the Holy One, blessed be He. That's what those Sfirot are, right? Keter is will. How do you connect yourself to the willpower of the universe? Chachma is wisdom. What is wisdom and how does one connect themselves to wisdom? We're going to be talking about all that in the next couple of days. Right? Being is understanding. Right? How much understanding do you have in your life? How much are you tapped into God's understanding? Right? That is realization and consciousness. Okay? All these attributes. Chesed is love and passion. Right? Gvura is discipline, trepidation, caution. Right? All these powers, all these attributes are divine, right? And the Kabbalah tells us what these attributes are and enables us to figure out how does one align themselves with these divine attributes so that these attributes are embodied in their thinking, in their speaking, in their acting, and they become a vehicle for God's presence into the world. Okay? Next, we must attach ourselves to the divine ideals. And we must always strive to realize them in life, in thought, in action, in imagination, in the life of the individual, of society, in our deepest, most zealous aspirations. That's what Judaism is about. To link ourselves to the divine. Okay? And all these divine attributes should be actualized not only on an individual level of what we think, say, and do, but on a societal level in the deepest way. Next. One cannot avoid some semblance of idolatry, unless one masters the concept that the cleaving to God called for in, and you who are bonded to the Lord your God are totally alive, refers to the attributes of the Holy One, blessed be He. One cannot cling to the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence itself. We can cleave to His ways, As he is merciful and gracious, you be merciful and gracious. As he bestows kindness, so you bestow kindness. Now you have to understand, one of the critiques of the Kabbalah is the possibility of idolatry, right? That there is like people start relating to these attributes, these powers, okay? Disconnected from God, okay? But these powers are God. Or actually, delete that. God is these powers, but these powers are not God. God is will, but will is not God, because God is wisdom. But wisdom isn't God, because God is understanding. But understanding isn't God. And that's the interesting formula, right? God is willpower, wisdom, understanding, love. But love, understanding, wisdom, will are not God. God is beyond all that. Right? So I have love in my heart, but I'm not love. Right? I express love. I feel love, but I'm not love. Hashem doesn't just express love. Hashem doesn't just feel love. Hashem is love. Okay, but it would be incorrect to say that love is Hashem, because Hashem is much greater than love, right? I have wisdom. I can share wisdom. I can express wisdom. Hashem doesn't have wisdom. Hashem is wisdom. Okay, but wisdom isn't Hashem, because Hashem is also love. But love isn't Hashem, because Hashem is also beyond all that. Do you get it? Okay, very important equation to remember. Okay? So the question is, and the problem is, when people, so to speak, separate the attributes from God, right? And they're now trying to connect to the power of love, as if it's a power that stands independent of God, that's idolatry. Right? If a person is committed to wisdom, right? But their wisdom is separated from God, right? That's idolatry. If they think, I want wisdom, but they want nothing to do with God, then they're idolaters. They're giving a power, independent value, separate from God. Nothing in the universe has independent power. Nothing in the universe has independent value. Everything in the universe only has value to the extent that it is a gateway to God. And if it's not, it doesn't have the value. Okay? So if Cook, and this was one of the critiques, right? They say, you know, that, oh, Christianity broke God into three, and the Kabbalists broke God into ten. Right? But the Kabbalist says, no, that's not what we were saying. Right? We're essentially, this is all from our perspective, and we are trying to describe the divine powers without thinking those powers are somehow separate or independent of God. Okay? So God is the Sephiroth. God is his attributes, but his attributes are not him. Because he's beyond all these attributes. All right? Any questions on that? Yes? So Judaism says only out of mercy. So if you know how to do that, then maybe you could do that. Right? But the question is, everything Hashem does, and we're going to be studying that, is only for good. Only as an expression of ultimate love. Okay? So, right. So what seems to us as destructive is never destructive. Okay? So, again, it's Hashem's only being gracious, even though it feels bad. But so too, doctors inflict tremendous pain. But they're not trying to hurt you. They're only trying to heal you. In Jewish tradition, Hashem is only and always trying to heal you. Right? And the only thing that's problematic is, are we receptive to His healing? Do we even acknowledge Him in our lives? Because as I mentioned, the more you acknowledge Hashem in your life, the more you acknowledge your life as an expression of God, the more you acknowledge all the powers within you are not from you, but rather from God, the more that truth can play out in your life, the more obvious it is, and the more power to you. Right? The more power to you. So it's true, there's destruction in the world, there's disease in the world, but Judaism claims that all of that is rooted in God's unconditional love for mankind. Right? And so that's the goal. The goal is, just as He is gracious, you be gracious. Just as He is loving, you be loving. Right? Okay? Now you have to understand the connection here. Because since God is love, although love isn't God, So if you are loving, then you are now connected to God. Right? So the more love fills your life, the more compassion fills your life, the more your commitment to justice fills your life, the more connected you are to God. Right? The more you embody and live these attributes, the more you're connected to God. Right? And the more life force and wisdom and love and energy and whatever comes to you. A little bit more. Now look at this. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to kill a person. I mean, if a person is trying to kill you, then you have to kill them first. You do it with love. You say, I love you very much, and it saddens me that you're going to destroy your soul for eternity by killing me, so I'm going to help you, and I'm going to kill you first. But don't take this personally, because there's nothing against you personally. I really think the world of you, and that's why I'm going to kill you. Right? So you just do it with a tremendous amount of love when you pull that trigger. But if someone's trying to kill you, you have a mitzvah to kill them first, right? That's the way it goes, okay? Well, even if you can't get the love in your heart to kill him anyways before he kills you. And think about how much you love him afterwards. But the idea is to really emulate Hashem in every way. And that's what Torah has come to give us. That's the entire philosophy of Jewish life. It's how to empower us to be like God in order that we can experience, right, our connection to God and benefit from that connection and experience ecstasy.
Yeah, Ahava and Chesed Gula is counterbalanced by Gura and Din.
Right, we're going to get to that. There's times where you have to be judicious, but even your judgment... What? It's Gvura, but it's still connected to Ahava. Right. So, let's sum up, and we're going to continue tomorrow morning. So please, you have to hold on to these, okay? What did we learn today? God is not a being floating in outer space over there. How does one know God? You know God in the most intimate, direct way, right? All you have to do is do this, and just contemplate and realize that you're not doing this, right? You're participating in doing this, but you certainly aren't doing this alone. Because all the wisdom and all the motor skills and the will are not yours. Well then, whose are they? Whosever they are is who we call Hashem. You want to give that great whoever another name? I don't really care what name you give that great whoever. But there is a great almighty whoever who is a source of life, love, peace, wisdom. And this very second, every single one of us, right, are operating only in partnership with God, right this very second. And the only difference is, how much do you know this? And how much are you true to it? How much do you think, speak, and act in a way that is harmonious and indicative of this incredible truth? And that's the goal, and that's the technology of Torah. Right? All the Torah learning, all the praying, all the mitzvahs are for that ultimate reason, to experience that we are bonded with Hashem and to experience the ecstasy that we are totally alive today. See you later.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990, or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.